This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hottest.
Wide open touchdown, Tyreek Hill.
What do you think of when you see Tyreek Hill, Randy?
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Nothing but speed.
What must Justin Jefferson be thinking as he's hearing everyone talk about how great Tyreek Hill is?
I think the sky's the limit for a guy like Justin Jefferson.
Today's guests: Chargers running back Austin Ekeler, Browns running back Nick Chubb. From the Audible original, Alive and Well Enough, Jeff Daniels. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live in Los Angeles, California. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a chat with me. I'm drinking hot tea with lemon and honey. I'm not going to lie.
What do we got, Rich?
I'm probable.
You're talking a lot
on the injury list.
You're talking a lot.
I've been talking a lot last year.
Yeah,
I'm probable on the injury list, and but I'm there's an I in Rich and Eisen, but I'm a team player. I'm here all 3 hours of this program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a chat. I've got not one but two top running backs in the National Football League. Coming on this program.
Are we going to slip them a little something extra?
One, we don't have to.
Oh.
One, we could.
Yeah, just to be nice.
The one we don't have to is Nick Chubb.
Nah, I like him.
Yes. He's going to be playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday Night Football on Westwood One. And you'll be hearing a lot of me on that broadcast as well on many of these stations that you might be taking in the Rich Eisen Show right now. And then we've got Austin Ekeler, fresh off the track meet. Fresh off the track meet in Los Angeles between the Dolphins and the Chargers. The Chargers are heading to Tennessee next, and we'll be chatting with the running back of the Los Angeles Chargers, the brilliant, talented Jeff Daniels, coming on this program. He's got a new Audible book out. However, I'm sure he wants to zoom in to crow about his Detroit Lions.
Mm. That you left out of the top 10.
I know. We don't need to talk about that.
Like, hey, Jeff, I do power rankings.
What's gotten into you lately?
He's on one.
I know.
Or you could be like, hey, great job for upping your game during the new football season.
Good to see you over there, Mike Del Tufo. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Rich. How you doing today?
I'm great. TJ Jefferson, how are you over there, sir?
I, too, am drinking hot tea with a little whiskey in
it. Oh, great.
Just a little whiskey.
Oh, ready to roll.
So his his fantasy football advice coming up later on this program is going to be, as the kids say, lit.
I'm just joking.
Ready to roll.
There it is. Stephen Dorff.
Empty, just so you know.
I'm like 3/4 Dorff today.
Ready to roll
on the Rich Eisen Show.
That's me. Thank you.
3/4 Dorff. That is hilarious.
So you're saying don't go full Dorff?
You can't go full Dorff. I am working out, but I'm not full Stephen Dorff.
Never go full.
And I'm not, you know, smoking 15 packs a day. Anyway.
We'll get you on a cigar day, though.
Hey, everybody. Hey. top stories in the sports world. Aaron Rodgers' Achilles tendon. And the misery of New York Jets fans and Zach Wilson being back in the saddle and getting ready to go to Dallas in that saddle. And we'll talk about that. I've led this show twice in a row with that news, and I believe you've had enough of me leading the show with that. That's my two cents. Later on, we will hear from Nathaniel Hackett. The offensive coordinator was brought in specifically to, I think, lure Aaron Rodgers and set the stage for Rodgers to have an intention to play for the Jets and also be the guy that Rodgers is comfortable with. And, you know, 75 seconds later, yada, yada, yada. The other sports conversation. We are going to lead the show with the guy who is truly the man we are all paying rent to in the sports world. And that is my longtime friend and compadre from NFL Network, Deion Sanders. 2-0 beats TCU and then beats Nebraska in the second half like the proverbial rented mule. And on top of it, he is now the king of college football. To the point, Texas beat Alabama. And what are we talking about? Colorado and Colorado State. That's all you need to know about the prime effect. Colorado and Colorado State are playing each other on ESPN 10 Eastern Time Saturday night. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports was here yesterday saying, I'm going to Boulder as part of Big Noon Saturday on Fox. Wait, hold on a second. It's not on your air, and it's not at noon. It's actually 10 o'clock at night Eastern Time, and it's on ESPN. Okay? Guess where First Take's going tomorrow?
Yep.
Boulder, Colorado, where the game isn't. Okay? Right? Colorado State. This game is going to be in Colorado.
Hold on a second, Rich.
Oh, I believe it's in Colorado State, if I'm not mistaken. It's in Colorado, my bad. Okay. Oh, it's in Boulder. But they're going to Boulder. On the Friday before Colorado and Colorado State. Guys, folks, I cannot tell you how significant this is. Colorado had one win. Colorado versus Colorado State is just never on anybody's radar screen. Like ever on anybody's radar screen. Well, it is now. Not just because of Deion. But Colorado State, I bet you if you asked every diehard college football fan, every diehard college football fan, can you name the head coach of Colorado State? 99 out of 100 would say, no way. Let me Google it. Is his name Google? His name is Jay Norvell. And guess what?
His name Google.
Guess what? Everybody knows his name now.
Yeah.
Did you know he's got a radio show or his own coach's show with a Zoom and everything? All college football head coaches do. And Colorado State is no slouch of a program. It really isn't. But in advance of this game, the coach of Colorado State had this to say about his opponent and its head coach.
I sat down with ESPN today, and I don't care if they hear it in Boulder. I told them I took my hat off and I took my glasses off, and I said, when I talk to grown-ups, I take my hat and my glasses off. That's what my mother taught.
Aye, aye, aye.
Is it over yet? Can I come out from under the desk?
Oh, just, no.
Why would he do that?
Oh, no.
Oops.
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no.
Did he really just say that? Okay. I understand. Trust me, I understand that Deion Sanders is not everybody's cup of tea. I get it. And I understand that folks see Deion and don't see behind the glasses that he wears to press conferences or on sidelines or in conversations. They don't see the human behind it and what makes him tick and the fact that he puts those shades on for a reason. I believe part of it may be fashion. He thinks he looks good. And if you look good, you know you play good. And if you play good, they pay good.
Yeah. And those sunglasses he wears are money.
Well,
must be the money.
I don't believe he pays for them, I'd imagine. If I had to guess, he's that's why he and Del Tufo get along so well.
No, I'm saying they're all
there.
Like,
you go, Mike.
We get along really well.
Mike, look at you, Mike.
Oh,
rocking the shades.
What's happening? We get along
find
really
your
well.
Camera, Mike. Deion wants you to find your camera. That's right one there. Of them. Is there another one
no,
that we got
it,
on
right
him?
They moved this
that's
camera.
It? Yeah, oh, they moved it?
We moved this camera.
We moved it. I didn't like the side angle.
Okay.
He didn't like the shot.
Which is another reason why Deion and you and Deion get along so
always,
well.
Always know where the camera is.
Always know where the camera is.
Again.
Wow.
I have been around this man for a long time. And I would be honest with you, as I always am. I do not know of a single time where I've ever seen him be disrespectful to another human being. Like, ever. Ever be disrespectful to another human being. And I get it that coach wants to, you know, show his guys we're different here at Colorado State. And he might, you know, and I totally get it. He might be battling for kids within the state. I don't know. Hey, parents, if you think Deion is disrespectful, send him to Colorado State. We're here in this state too. I get that he's got his own turf. He's got his own program, and he's got his own way of firing the kids up. And I'm sure he's probably deep down upset that he's the Washington Generals in this Harlem Globetrotter situation. just the fodder, the cannon fodder for all of us to say they're 3-0 taking on Oregon next week in Oregon. At least they got that location right. So I understand what he's saying. But man, I feel deep down, and this is unvarnished opinion, not biased at all. In my 27 plus years of doing this nationally, I feel this is a misstep. I get the feeling.
Expert analysis.
Thank you. That's why you come here, right?
Yeah, of course.
Exactly. I feel this is a misstep. You know, I feel it's not going to work for him. It's not going to end well at all. Because, again, it's not as if Dion, if this is now officially personal, has not one but two children who could take it out on this other coach's team. Wait a minute. I'm being told he does have two children on the field. One on either side of the ball. Wait a minute. I'm being told one of the children who can actually exact this revenge for the father will have the football in his hands a lot. Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm being told that this child is a manly child, a man child, who has missed on only 20 of his 89 attempts so far this season. We do the math, that's 77.5% completion percentage. For 903 yards and 6 touchdowns, that's 2 games worth. That child.
He's second in college football in passing yards.
That child will be taking the field on behalf of dad. And oh yes, despite the whole concept of lack of respect being communicated by wearing shades and hats while talking to people, every player on Colorado feels like they're Dion's child, and Dion is their dad. Some of them may be the only father figure they know. And Dion always told me, tells the story when he showed up to Florida State, that it was the first time he'd ever seen a grown man shave. That's the guy behind the shades. That's what he's building through his message. And what he's also doing is showing off swag, showing off style, showing off the fact that here in Colorado, we do it this way. And that way was just kind of slandered. Oh, my word. Saturday night is all right for fighting. I just did an Elton John reference.
Well done, Rich. Well, way to skew younger.
None. Well, you know, he did go all in on Taylor Swift titles yesterday.
Swifties, and you know, today's for us.
Oh my God!
If I can give another musical reference, the great Slick Rick rapper. He had a song once that he titled "I Shouldn't Have Done It," and I think that could be in reference.
It's a shame we got to wait all day for this game on Saturday.
Well, I mean, you're going to hear from Dion before then, and then you'll hear from Dion Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have done it.
Is there a place in the desert that has a specific penchant for coming up with a number that they feel is in the area of a margin of difference?
Yeah.
Okay.
Friends.
Is that a place that Mo Green once founded, and there's no plaque or signpost to commemorate his founding of that city?
Yep.
What do they think right now? I just want to know right now, what that number is compared to what it will be after the media chews up this soundbite like we just did.
About right now, it's about 23 and a half friends.
Okay. Whew.
What?
By the way, that is the worst Ashton Kutcher, Charlie Sheen movie, a TV show ever.
23 and a half friends.
It was a little too crowded on set.
That's a whole lot of people to get in a single camp.
I would say get in now.
Or actually, they didn't. He replaced Charlie, didn't he? Yeah, he okay, now Charlie. I got it. Yeah. All right, so sorry.
Get in now.
Get in now before that goes to like 27.
Get in now.
Although it doesn't matter. They probably win by 40.
My God.
Only the
Wearing
Cowboys
shades and hats. Yeah. Disrespectful. We treat people better.
Get in now.
Oh, my God.
Del Tufo, just saying.
Ow.
All right. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. I would just please, you know, because everything there, hold on a second, everything there is basically recorded. It's like the Truman Show there.
Okay? Yeah, yeah, they're doing the Amazon thing.
I saw on Dion, yeah. I saw on Dion's Instagram feed today, there's a shot of students lining up for tickets at 6:45 in the morning.
Yeah. Because there's only a handful of students.
And I saw the other day where he was with Rick George, the athletic director, and some, I believe, a lady in her 90s who's a diehard Colorado fan. And he gave her theme music in front of the players.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I saw that video. Okay. He was wearing a hat, but no glasses in that, though. So I don't know if that's an indication that he was being half respectful. But at any rate, long story wow. short. Everything there is recorded. Mm-hmm. I would love, hopefully, somebody had a camera on Prime when he saw this or was told about this for the first time.
It's
oh, please.
Chance that
oh,
is true.
Please release that video. Please. Because they're going to be releasing the proverbial hounds on Saturday night. Holy cow. Love it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Austin Eckler of your Los Angeles Chargers, Nick Chubb of the Cleveland Browns. Is he an elf? He's one of the giant elves, like Miles Garrett? Okay.
Strong elf.
He's coming up in hour two. That's the elf hour on our program. And then hour three, zooming with Jeff Daniels, everybody. And you at 844-204-RICH.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yeah, it's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
On October 5th. Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited. That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting.
Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki.
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 A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You better run!
Marvel Studios' Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
Back here on the program. Austin Eckler about to join us. I still can't believe he said that.
Which part?
The glasses and hats and whatever. You know what's going to happen? If I'm Colorado, I hand out hats and glasses in the student section.
80,000 pairs of sunglasses.
100%.
That is
1,000%.
That is genius.
That's what I do. That's hey, everybody. Genius. Student section. Free hats, free glasses to everybody.
Classes are on the house.
Ryan?
That's really smart. Literally mandatory
Except,
that they do that.
I mean, it's a night game, but who cares?
Hey, I wear my sunglasses at
That's
night.
The point.
So does Corey Hart.
That's the point. Because, you know, that's when people feel it's the most disrespectful. If you're wearing shades at night and a hat at night, that's when it's most disrespectful. 8 Eastern. It might still be a little light out.
Yeah,
there might be some sun peeking over the mountains.
Might be
You might need to shade yourself, or you might need to shade yourself from all the points.
So many points.
Honestly.
So many points.
His son is on a Heisman Trophy-like roll.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like which Sanders is going to try and do it for dad the most.
Yeah, right. So many points.
It's like the battle. You know how He ranks his kids, right?
And Shiloh is way down on the
Shiloh's
list.
Shiloh's been five on the list for a while.
He needs to get up to catch Junior, I think.
He does that on his Instagram feed. Here's the latest list of the way I'm ranking my children.
Well, Shiloh's always doing. Shiloh's always impersonating his pops, and he does it. You've never seen it. Shiloh does
it. It is so funny when he does that. It's so funny when he does that. Here's my latest update. Oh my gosh. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. And look who has stopped by. Our friend from the Los Angeles Chargers. He had a terrific game in the track meet that did not go the Chargers' way. They're getting set to take on the Tennessee Titans, courtesy of FedEx and their Air and Ground Players of the Week awards. Is none other than Pro Bowler out of the running back spot in Los Angeles, Austin Eckler. How are you, sir?
I am doing great. It's good to be back on the show, man. Thanks for having me.
So is this the man cave, or is this the, what do you have here? Is this the gamer cave? What do we have, Austin?
I call it the studio, which is really just a converted room in my house that I put, a table and a desk and a computer on, but then obviously have, the PC in the back, which that one needs to be fixed. And then I have this A, it's like the AE, just some initials with some lights and then a jersey.
Very nice.
My girl, there's some food. Don't look at my breakfast.
Okay, sorry.
I don't show that side of the room, but. Okay.
All right. Well, look at you. I like it in the chair. The chair is very, chair for gaming?
It is a comfortable chair. It's got a gaming vibe to it, but I don't do much gaming anymore. When you get older, as you probably know, the things that used to be enjoyable for you, it's just not the same as it used to be,
Well, so, normally it's having children to beat it out of you, but I don't think that's what you don't have kids, right, Austin?
No kids yet. Yeah.
Okay. So you're all grown up. Is there anything you've matured from gaming?
I have matured from game. It's not that I don't game anymore, but it's just that I don't game like I used to.
Okay. There's more to life. There's more to life. Okay. Yes. I like it. How are you feeling? Are you doing all right after week one, Austin?
Disappointed, obviously, as far as losing the game. I thought, man, it would have been really special for us to go out there and have a staple. Like, we have a minute and 15 seconds left on the clock, one timeout. We're down by two to go and get us in field goal range with zero time and kick a game winner. I think that would have really, put us in a spot where it's like, perfect. But for us, I think we're in a good spot as far as our team. Obviously, offensive showed some, promise of scoring points, which is what we need to do, right? That's good. I think bringing in Kellen Moore and seeing kind of how that's been going. It's only been 1 week, but that's what we're trying to do every week is score 30-something points. But just as our team, each week's different, so we'll see how it goes. Obviously, defense – come on, Tyreek Hill is one of one, and he had his day the other day. And so I'm not thinking we're going to be playing Tyreek Hill every week, but we all got to get better. And that's kind of how it goes. The mindset of an athlete is week to week, try to continue and better. What does better mean? I just had this conversation. Better means winning. Like we got to find a way to win. That's what we get judged on here in the NFL, winning and losing. So got to find a way.
Well, you just said a lot there. I want to take a couple of points from your opening soliloquy right there in response to my question. No, please. That's I hear you. First things first is it sure seemed to me, Austin, that the game plan for Kellen Moore was quite run reliant. Austin, what's up with that? Is that an indication here or what?
Yeah, I think around our locker room, and if you've heard any of our locker or interviews about the run game or anything like that, and it's been like this number 30, and they're not talking about me. They're talking about our ranking in, our stats last year of rushing. We were the 30th team in rushing last year. And it was an emphasis this preseason that we got to be able to run the ball. We got to be multidimensional. And so that was the emphasis in preseason. We had two games with like over 250 yards rushing and one with 150 or something like that. So that was the emphasis. And it was, you've heard Kellen talk about this downhill running style, moving bodies, gap scheme, some zone scheme in there as well. And running backs find a gap and flip and burst and hit it. And it's exactly what you saw play out. We saw it play out in the preseason. We finally brought it into week one. And when we can do that, we know what Justin can do. And I think that's been a new dimension that we're trying to add to this team, as well as making sure that we can, if we have to, rely on the run game as well as Justin's arm. So I'm excited. I think there's a lot to be excited about our offense, and we just got to make sure we stay consistent.
Well, because I had Daniel Jeremiah, who calls your games on the radio, my colleague from NFL Network, basically say Vic Fangio was playing, what he said, the safeties in the parking lot is basically what he said, and that they never really came down to try and stop you, so you kept running. Or yeah. is this what we're going to see? We're going to see Herbert throw it about 30 times, and then you guys run it about 40 times. Is that going to be the split, do you think, Austin?
We got a lot of really smart coaches. And when it comes down to, you know, you're playing the defense, what do they play? You know, if the Dolphins are going to stay in cover eight the entire game with two safeties, like you said, Coach State likes to say in Jupiter, you're out here in Jupiter, yeah. Like you're not even in this plant, you're not even in the world, then guess what? We got to be able to run the dang ball. And exactly, running backs, tight ends, we got to come alive, right? This underneath game is going to come alive because they're trying to put a roof over you. It's similar to what we do. Is a defense. And so we've been preparing against that type of defense for, you know, all of training camp. And that was the chemistry for that game was, hey, if we're going to have success, it's going to be in the run game. We ran for 250 yards. However, it just turned into a track meet because their guy also popped off and seemed like their plan was get it to Tyreek and Waddle. And, you know, those guys, you know, they outdid us that day. They were one possession better than us on Sunday.
And then you mentioned Tyreek Hill just there. And then prior, what in the world is it like for somebody like yourself who is quite fast, quite elusive, quite explosive, who can score from any point on the field? That is something you can do and you have done. What is it like for someone like yourself to watch what he does in person, Austin?
I have much respect for that because it is very rare. And I think we all know that Tyreek Hill is very rare. Breed. He is one of one, and there's a reason he's compensated the way he is, because there's not a lot of Tyreek Hill type of people like around. You know, you could kind of compare and do these comparisons, but it doesn't come close. It does not come close. This man takes explosive to a new level. His explosiveness is in a realm of its own. And you know, you can try to double team him. That's great. He's just so fast. And guess what? He's also very decisive with his cuts. He's going to beat one and then he's going to get open on the second guy. And you don't have enough people to guard him. So you got to hope you can maintain him. And we weren't able to on Sunday, and we saw what happened. You know, last year we were able to later in the season. And so we put the cuffs on him last year, but this is obviously a new year. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to get another shot at him here late in the playoffs.
Is this, again, this year's seventh season in the NFL. Is he the fastest guy you've seen in person?
Yeah, I mean, I've been watching him, you know, since right. I've been in the NFL because he played for the Chiefs, right? So we had to play him twice a year. Him and Kelsey, flipping, gosh. Like, when we play the Chiefs, the Chiefs game. I'm just like, it's like a rival.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was a division rival, but us and the Chiefs, man, those are some great battles that we've had. He's definitely one of the most impressive football players that I've seen.
Well, I couldn't help but notice, Austin Ekeler, when I mentioned your ability to score from anywhere on the field and your speed and your elusiveness and your value, and you referred to Tyreek Hill and you mentioned the word compensated. That's why he's compensated that way. Was that purposeful to use that word, Austin?
It wasn't naturally, actually.
Oh, okay. So it just slipped out?
I used it in a general sense.
Okay.
You know, if you want to talk, I know where you're getting at. Here's the thing. If you are an impact player on your team,
yes,
or can be an impact player on any team, then first of all, I think you should have a fair shot to get an open market contract and not be subject to a franchise tag, lock you in for 1 year. You don't get to negotiate anything. Maybe it's a good deal for you. Maybe it's not. Regardless, you don't get to negotiate it. Here it is, and you get all the risk. Sure, it's guaranteed, but you have all the risk. You don't have anything after that. If you go out there and tear your Achilles and you don't have any years after that, then And then on the flip side, if you do amazing and you set records and have a record-breaking year, they can franchise you again. So that in itself is what I don't agree with. But if you are able to contribute at a high level and sustain that, then I feel like you should be compensated for that and not generalized as your position in the generalness of your position. Like, oh, you play running back. And so this is generally what running backs do. But it's like saying Tyreek Hill is just a receiver. And so he doesn't make, he's just a receiver. And I was like, no, he, yes, he's a receiver, but the impact that he makes when he's on the game, on the field, is winning and losing. That's the difference between winning and losing in some of these games.
Yes.
And that there's more value that should be put on that.
Well, I'm not trying to stir anything up, although I just did ask that question. But but I'll be honest with you. I was watching this game, and I'm not just watching it because I thought it was one of the most fascinating matchups of the game. I'll be straight up. I've got you on not one but two fantasy leagues, so because I'm smart and I know football. Yes. Okay, but I'm sitting there and I'm watching this, and I'm watching you run, and I'm watching you perform, and I know when you're doing it, you're in the game, you are focused, you are a professional, you are doing what you need to do to help your team win. I totally understand it. But I'm sitting there from the couch watching your numbers go up and the phone in my hand, I'm thinking, oh, isn't it interesting how much he's being utilized and how important he is to whether the Chargers win or lose today? That's what I'm thinking. Do you think that when you get the stat sheet at the end of the day, Austin?
You know, it's something that is there, yes. Like, I feel like I am a pivotal role in the Chargers offense. And I feel like I have been that for the past, especially 2 years. And it's the same mindset that it is this year. It's like, that is my role. My role is Austin. You are one of the most consistent guys on the field, and we need you to be that because that's what you built yourself up to be. Mm-hmm. And that's how we rely on you in this offense. Like, we need you to catch. If we don't have our receivers because Keenan and Mike are out, you're catching 107 balls. And that's what I did last year. And guess what? We still made it to the playoffs. This year, if we got all of our receivers healthy, Austin, we need you to run the dang ball. Guess what? I'm showing up to the plate and I'm running the ball. And guess what? I'm going to be efficient in either role that they need me to be in because I can do it. I can do it. And that's how I apply myself. And I make sure that I'm ready for whatever role that is that week that they need me to play. And it's going to be at a high level, and it's going to be consistent because that's who I am as a person. That's what I do. I do things at a high level, and I really apply myself, not just, oh, I do it 100%, but no, I am tapped into like my survival instincts to make sure this thing works. And that's how I've gotten from number three, sixth string on the depth chart to now I'm starting for your team, and not only starting for your team, but you expect me to be one of your biggest playmakers on your team. And what has brought me to this still lives within me, still keeps me at this level of play that I can sustain. And, so for me, yeah, it's a great thing if you have me on your fantasy team. But yeah, I definitely expect myself to be able to, you know, step up to any role. And I do see that, yeah, I do contribute. And if I'm not contributing, I'm trying to figure out what the heck went wrong and I need to get it fixed, because the role that I have right now is be the contributor. And hey, the team needs to lean on me, and I want them to lean on me because I can take on that role.
Austin Eckler here, courtesy of FedEx, FedEx Air and Ground NFL Player of the Week Awards. You have the floor, sir. What should people do? Point and click, yeah. Obviously.
So
but what
we're
we got
talking
here?
About, we're talking we about running the ball. We're talking about catching the ball.
We are.
So even in my journey in life, I've been in a situation where I've wanted to continue to give opportunities to others outside of just my football realm, because I think football is a big part of my life and has built a lot of character for myself, but there's other opportunities out there that can do the same. And that's why I'm so excited to partner with FedEx. And not only because, you know, I'm nominated for the FedEx Ground Player of the Week.
there is an eye in Austin. There is an eye in Austin. There is an eye in Austin. It's okay. I get it. Yeah,
there is. But yeah. And by the way, you should vote for me at NFL.com/FedEx.
Yep. Right. Okay.
And basically, here's what's going on. So FedEx is also, you know, a company that an organization that cares about community as well. So that's why we've teamed up, and they are donating $100,000 to HBCUs in the form of scholarships. And so I am partnered with them to continue to help promote this journey that we're going on. And then also the way they give away these scholarships is by nominating air players of the week and ground players of the week, quarterbacks and running backs. And then we get to choose which HBCU we'd like to donate that to. So that's why I need your help to go and vote for me and to continue to make a difference and continue to make this world one better place for the next person.
You the man, Austin Eckler. I gotta let you run, otherwise they're gonna stuff me in a box and throw an air bill on me. Okay, so you got more to talk about. I always enjoy our chats. You are pure, sir, not just on the field, but in the way you talk and the way you conduct yourself. I always appreciate you taking the time. Let's do it again.
Likewise. I'll see you soon.
All right, fun stuff with Austin Eckler right there. I love him.
You want to talk about saying it with your chest, Rich?
Well, I mean, I kind of did. He's always honest when he comes on, and I kind of, that's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking when he was running nonstop. He and, you know, Josh Kelly had 16 carries apiece. And they ran it because that's what the defense was giving him.
They ran it well, over 200 yards.
But that's why you need Austin Eckler. Yeah. That's why they, I guess they kept him by giving him a little something. You know, and it's a great question. TJ, I just wish you weren't being so disrespectful right now.
Well, I mean, why would you say that?
Because you're wearing shades indoors right now.
That's why.
You want a hat, TJ?
Well, I'm fully down, you know.
I can't talk to you.
With what Prime
Because
has.
He's being disrespectful?
Yeah.
Yep. Understood.
I mean, they look good, though.
Jets should come off the plane in week 5 wearing Gilligan hats. And Colorado Buffalo students should show up to the game Saturday night in hats and shades. That's the way it should go. The state of Colorado. Lots of spite in that beautiful state. You know?
Well, if that's the case, then LD should show up at the game.
That's right. A spite store. Open up a spite store. And lots going on in Colorado where, you know, Dion's doing his stuff and Congress people are vaping during shows and stuff like that.
Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
All right. Let's take a break here on the program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Baseball news.
Baseball
news from Chris Brockman's house.
Nice.
Whoa.
I don't mean his actual house.
I was like, what do we do?
I might have a new job. I don't know.
All right. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There is so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Back here on our Roku channel feed, everybody. Boy, I'll tell you what. Starbucks makes a great particular drink that can help your throat.
Yeah.
Pumpkin spice?
No, it's called a highball, which doesn't sound like something that...
That's a drink.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a drink.
Sounds like an adult beverage.
Well, it sounds like something they were drinking in the 80s.
Sounds like something, right? It sounds like something, something that James Bond would order, awesome. Right?
Or Del Tufo at Studio 54.
I mean, I actually went there when it reopened in the 80s.
Did you really?
It was the second club I was in my life, Rich.
Studio 54?
When it reopened, right before it closed.
What was the first club you were in?
The Fun House.
Why would you have trouble remembering that if you were so specific,
Rich,
as to which clubs?
The early 80s for me are a little bit of a daze.
Okay,
Rich. Too many highballs, Rich. Come on.
The highball.
Ladies and gentlemen, my
Del
Tufo.
Madonna used to sing at the Fun House at like 12 o'clock because she was dating
Madonna?
Yeah, she would come in and sing because the DJ, Jelly Bean Benitez, was dating her.
Oh, yeah, Jelly Bean.
So he would put her on stage to sing. That's how she started.
I don't want to tell you how to do your business. I was about to say, isn't your microphone too far away from you? Like, you're the audio executive hearing yourself.
Watch, you hear that. If I put it back there,
you're heavy. What is it? He's heavy fingered?
He is a really heavy fingered person.
That's why iPads are great.
See, but or you could just turn your microphone off, right?
But that's why I put it over. I put it here.
Okay, very good. Your process is your process.
I'm sorry.
Don't tell him how to do his job.
That's
it. Very upset.
Sunglasses.
I don't mean to do
that's
that.
It. Yeah. Sunglasses.
It's my very. It's my bad, as they say. Very good. Sunglasses. All right, we're almost back on our radio feed, and then we'll talk about this breaking baseball news, everybody. I don't know what's going on over there.
Baseball's still going on?
Yeah, it is.
Oh. Nah, we don't even
sorry.
Know.
What's that? Wait, oh, no, I'm following it again. It's been a lot of fun lately. Back on the Rich Eisen Show. Here we are. All right, Christopher, what's going on in your neck of the woods? What's going on?
So my time at Rich Eisen Show is coming to an end.
Why is that?
Well, I'm going to be the new Red Sox chief baseball officer.
Okay.
Oh, bro,
is that what they call it there?
That's chief? What, yeah. That's,
CBO?
That's his like official title.
Chief baseball
but not,
officer.
But no Mo!
Chief Brockman officer?
He's out. Hi, Bloom. See you later, man. Don't let the door hit your butt on the way out. Guy's been terrible. Last place, 3 of his 4 years.
By the way, it could be four out of the five.
Great. Could be four to five.
Yankees just got out of the basement. They swept the Red Sox the other day.
Well, we get a double dip today.
I know, another double dip.
Yeah. Because yesterday was rained out.
Yes, indeed.
But
I haven't paid attention.
Anyway, he is the team announced they've parted ways with Chief Baseball Officer Chaim Bloom.
Yes.
John Henry made the decision along with Tom Werner and Sam Kennedy. Let's see. Here's the quote here. While parting ways is not taken lightly, today signals
such sweet sorrow.
A new direction for our club.
What is that? There's only one way to
There's
go.
Only way. We're in the bottom. So we're just looking up. So we can only go upward here.
The right. Way is up.
A new direction. I mean, I would argue the direction to go down was made when you let Mookie walk out the door, Mr. Henry.
Oh, unbelievable. I still can't believe that.
I know.
That he sucks? Oh, no. Sorry.
Mookie's actually the opposite of that.
Not Mookie, no. Mr. Henry. Our organization has significant expectations on the field. True, most World Series this century. While Haim's efforts in revitalizing our baseball infrastructure have helped set the stage for the future, not true, we will begin a new search for new leadership. So I'll see you guys later.
And of course, Jimmy Traina of Sports Illustrated is like jealous that your ownership takes stock of moves made by the general manager and takes action.
Yeah, nah,
meanwhile, the Yankees. I got to tell you, all these young kids that have come up and they're killing it right now. They're probably saving Cashman's gig.
Should I pick up King today?
I don't know.
He had 9 Ks his last outing.
I don't know, pal.
Baseball playoffs. I need moves.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Cooper and I are in our baseball playoff right now. We won 16 straight weeks, and we're in trouble.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
First thing Coop said to me when he woke up this morning.
We're in trouble?
He's, Dad, we're down. We had it with Dad. We're down 90. Down 90 points with 4 days left in our baseball season, potentially. Fantasy. Okay.
Well, anyway, yeah, there's the losing the last few years. It's just been unacceptable. Some of the moves in the pitching staff.
You want Mike Trout?
But the... Sure, I mean...
You want Mike Trout?
Of course. We can introduce him to winning. But I don't know.
Says the guy who's like last place 3 out of 4 years.
Well, 4 World Series. And
doesn't matter. It's what have you done for me lately?
It's 2004. So.
We haven't done anything lately either.
Yeah, I mean, our teams stink.
Meanwhile, the Atlanta Braves, no surprise. First in as a division winner. They just lapped the field in the National League East.
Ridiculous.
I'd like to start a petition.
Matt Olson, my gosh. I mean, how about that? How about this? Matt Olson, does he have 51 home runs now?
51, okay. Yeah. Ties the team record.
51 home runs, and he's not the leading MVP candidate on the team.
That's wild.
How about
he's having
that?
I know because I have him in fantasy, but he has been an unbelievable year.
Which one, Acuna or Matt Olson?
Okay, 51 home runs. He's hitting over 280, almost 130 RBI, 1,000 OPS. Not going to win MVP this year. Every other year in Major League history, he would be MVP.
No question.
But it's because his teammate has 35 bombs, 65 steals, is hitting .330. Unbelievable.
And Scherzer out for the year. The Texas Rangers made that big move.
And they have been on it.
And Scherzer's hurt. So is there enough time before the end of the season for them to acquire another Mets ace who's not going to be able to pitch for them?
I would take offense to that if I cared.
Where's the Clooney GIF? The Clooney drop. You need one more?
Matt Harvey, is Dwight Gooden available?
I think we need one more.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get one.
All right, so what we got?
Craig Viola.
Sid Fernandez.
We sent
El Cid.
I know someone friends with him.
El Cid.
Anybody? No, I'm an actual current Mets pitcher they can acquire who will not be able to physically perform for them in the playoffs.
We're done giving those guys up.
Okay.
Like I said, I even know baseball is still going on. So.
Yeah, man. Sorry. It still is.
It's too long of a season.
Actually,
when your team's
the
not good.
Races are kind of awesome.
No, they are.
Right now.
No, they are.
But
I was on Michael Kay's show yesterday. He had me on to give voice to the Jet fan. As if they don't have enough from Staten Island actually calling in from Staten Island.
Did you say Jet fan as though there's
Jet
one?
Fans.
Oh, fans. Singular. Okay.
And I said to him at the end, I'm like, well, I'm not a fan graphs guy, but if the Yankees win every game from here on out, they have a shot. And he nearly hung up on me. The voice of the Yankees nearly hung up on me.
Yeah, we're tied. We're 7.5 back of the wild card.
With how many to play? Like 15, 16 to
let's
play?
See, one, let's see. 1, 4, 17 left.
There you go. So.
17-0
17-0
Meanwhile, the NL wild card is amazing. Cincinnati, Arizona tied.
Oh, please. Cincinnati,
San Francisco and Miami a half game back.
I did say this to Coop the other day. Ellie De La Cruz, let's get him in a playoff game.
He's slumping hard right
now.
I know it. 19.
I know it, but that's the stuff of...
Dropped down to eighth in the lineup.
As John Sterling would say, that's baseball, Susan.
Yeah.
So, that's baseball, you know, but get him in a playoff game. Let's go.
It'd be amazing.
Let's go. So, that's our baseball talk. Mike in North Carolina will take your call, 844-204-RICH. Number to dial on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Michael?
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
I called you doing the win-loss with the Giants. But
yeah. Let me
before
see.
I get that real quick, yeah. I just want to say... I did bucket list about 2 years ago and got to see Cubs play at Wrigley Field. Best day I ever had in my life.
All right.
But I feel nobody picked the Giants to win. Probably no one, except for me and Al.
Well, you and, had them. Yeah, you both had them 11-6, Mike.
Yeah, I don't really consider that the worst loss, even though number-wise it was. I feel like Joe Burrow's losing to Cleveland and Kirk Cousins. Losing to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean.
We're actually worse. And maybe Micah Parsons should be a head coach for saying taking Daniel Jones out of the game was the smartest thing I've ever heard anybody say.
Well, Mike, I got to push back on you here. And thanks for the call. I greatly appreciate it. I got to push back here. The Giants, if I had to choose, and now I am, that's the worst week one loss. Hands down, you cannot lose division games at home. It's that simple. If you have designs to follow up on your breakout season for your coach of the year winner, and you're opening up at home against the Dallas Cowboys, this is where you put your calling card on the table and say, all y'all that thought last year was an outlier, nah. And instead, in front of the whole country, that is as eager for football as you can possibly be after months of not seeing it, ready to sit down on a Sunday night and chew into a terrific rivalry in the NFC East, have people basically click off middle of the second quarter. Because you got the sense of everything. And then on top of it, I mean, is Darren Waller hurt again or what? I mean, what's going on? You're hearing that his hamstring, he didn't practice Wednesday.
Right.
What are you resting him already in week
scheduled
one?
Maintenance day?
And whatever, yeah. Man. Like, Darren Waller is supposed to be the difference maker, that you got Saquon paid and supposedly, you know, eager to stick around. And Daniel Jones is coming out of the box, and you got all these track meet guys at receiver. And it's year two of Thibodeau. And, you know, crazy Wink Martindale, you know, is blitzing Dak and you don't score a point. You get shut out at home 40-0. I mean, yeah, the Bengals losing, that stunk. It was jarring to see, certainly after you've paid Burrow. But that's on the road. Yeah, I was on top of the elf. I mean, so you can't win them all in division. I mean, it's very rare to do that. And he mentioned, Kirk Cousins losing at home to the Bucs. I mean, that's a conference game. And again, the Steelers getting smoked at home is right there with the Giants loss. But again, that's an out-of-conference loss. That is way low on the totem pole. And for the Steelers, I mean, to lose Cam Hayward and Deontay Johnson, they're talking about IRing Deontay Johnson, and they're talking about surgery for Cam Hayward. That is a bad loss. But if I had a vote for the worst loss of week one, I mean, if there's such a thing, and Mike from North Carolina just put it out there, name me one worse than losing a division game at home in front of the whole country. 40-0. Only the sixth opening such loss of the Super Bowl era where you score zero and your opponent scores a 4-0 at least. Any other takers on this? You think of any other? I mean, obviously, the Chargers losing in the manner in which they did was tough to swallow, and it is a conference loss, but still.
Yeah, but still, you have to be encouraged if you're the Chargers. The run game worked. The run game was great. Maybe, you know, your red zone kind of at the end there, you could have had a touchdown instead of getting a field goal.
When you're saying red zone, you're talking about Scott Hansen or?
No, I'm talking about as a Justin Herbert fantasy owner.
Oh, my bad, sorry. Yeah, I've got him too, so.
You're not getting another one on the goal line
there. He did push one in. He did shove one in, so. Green, the Chicago.
Yeah, but they had unrealistic expectations.
Dude, you can't.
Bears fans had unrealistic expectations heading into this season.
Say that. I'm talking about the team, not the fans. I'm talking about the team. And they're that for them to come in, they're probably sky high coming off of their preseason and in training camp. Everybody has got hope in that locker room, and I'm sure they still do. And it's just one game, blah, blah, blah. But for them to go out against Green Bay, Rodgers is gone. You lose, if I'm applying the same thing to the Giants, you lose a division game at home. That's not good. Certainly when it's your opportunity to put your card on the table saying, okay, Rodgers is in New York now, New Jersey. And it's our time. It's our time. We just saw the Lions do what they did.
I mean, it's our time. They were the number one pick in the draft.
No, I know.
The year before,
I get it. So. I get it. But we've seen worse to the playoff the year before with Jacksonville. I'm trying to sit here and, like, you could say that the Bears fans are pie in the sky or whatever. I'm talking about in the standings, in the locker room, ability to recover quickly so you're not 0-2. That was a rough one. But I'd nominate the Giants. Hour number two, Nick Chubb of the Cleveland Elves. I'm sorry, Browns. And Salty Tua, baby, coming back. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Of the Cleveland Elves.
Sorry.
That was the funniest soundbite I've heard in a while.
Cleveland Elves.
We lost to a bunch of elves. Called them elves. We lost to elves.
Excuse me. I think you're missing the F-bomb in front of the elves.
Well, I didn't want to say it on the Roku channel.
We're Roku only, right?
No. Still. We're still classy.
I get it.
I'm not wearing a tank top, so.
Or just look at you, man. Don't take shots at Pat.
He's taking shots at everybody.
You are.
I'm not taking shots. I'm pointing out that someone in our time slot wears a tank top.
I know that.
Okay.
What if I came on the air that way?
It would be the funniest thing of all time.
I might.
Well, then you'd be people would accuse you of biting the style.
Yeah, you're
right. So you got to do something like that, but different.
Brockman should do it.
Just put you in the white tee.
I don't want to wear a tank top. Gets on me for buttoning my top button.
Just put you in a crisp white tee.
Yeah, I don't have the guns like Pat. I just don't. So. how many of these does he have? I'd love to ask him that.
He's got.
Is it like my closet? I got sweaters all over the place.
Right.
It's my first sweater day of the.
I did notice. I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah. And that's your thing. The
sweater.
You're the sweater guy.
It's not a zip. I changed it. It's like a crew.
You know, all around the country, kids will be going as you for Halloween this year.
No, they're not.
Quarter zips.
Zero. 0.0 children are doing that. 0.0.
If you're out there and can get a crew to go as us
zero.
For That's Halloween, right. please send us a photo.
Salty too on the other side.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations, and we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.